Well, today we celebrate all creatures, great and small. As I prepared today's message, I thought about the many ways such a message can be heard. And I think of this specifically because until we got our dog, my wife and I got a dog named Jack 8 years ago. Before we got him, I was not a pet person. I never quite understood it. I didn't get it. Mainly because due to allergies, I grew up in a home that could not have cuddly pets. We could only have birds. Now, birds are nice, but you can't pet them. They aren't excited to see you when you come home. And the moment you reach for them, they snap and then fly away. Not a very exciting experience as a child. Other friends would hold their dogs, talk about their cats, other such things. But we had birds. So I never understood this whole furry creature running, licking you, touching you, dirty thing. It took me a while. In fact, when my wife and I got our first pet, when we got Jack, I was very clear. I said, I understand that you want this dog. You've always wanted a dog. In fact, my wife's family only got their first pet her last day of high school. She'd asked for a dog her entire childhood, and they got one almost to say, yep, it's going to replace you now that you're gone. So we got our own dog, and I didn't set down rules, but I requested some boundaries. Let's put it that way. You know, I don't want the dog on the furniture. I want the dog in a different space than I don't want the dog climbing on me. You know, you'll take care of the dog, right? You'll do the feeding and the walking and the picking up of poop. And, you know, I'm happy to let you have a dog, but I'm not a dog person. That's what I said. Oh, that dog owns our house. And I'm grateful. I have become a pet person. Didn't think I ever could, but it turns out they're quite marvelous. But whether you're a pet person or not, I think there's something to be said about celebrating all creatures, great and small. As we reflect on these creatures today, I want to invite those of you who may not have pets to remember that we are surrounded by beautiful creatures every day. They fly overhead, they scurry across our yards, and they bring a beautiful majesty to our mountains as you drive up I-70 and see those bighorn sheep on top of the rocks. So whether you're a pet person or not, I want us to acknowledge that we all can be blessed by the creatures of this world. Now, the sermon title today, All Creatures Great and Small, actually comes from a hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. This is like the one animal hymn we're not using today. I dug through and found every other one possible. But this hymn reminds us in its first verse that all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. I remember singing them as a child. The other animal song I remember singing as a kid was All God's Creatures Got a Place in the Choir. Some sing lower, some sing higher. We talked about the place animals carry in our life. Now, not only does this focus on creatures fit into what has been our season of creation as we celebrate the world, but it also ties in with St. Francis Day. The Catholic Church celebrates different saints throughout the year, and October 4th is St. Francis Day. This is a day where the saint of animals and the environment is celebrated. And so in the Protestant tradition, even though we don't venerate saints as holier than anyone else, we do recognize the special significance and history of these people. And certainly to spend a day celebrating creation and animals is a gift. In fact, many Protestant churches, much like we will do today, have a blessing of the animals this time of year. It's a beautiful tradition started, many would say, by St. Francis, who was always known to be surrounded by animals. There's a story of a pet wolf that followed him around. It had been plaguing a village that he was working with, and they said that it was this dangerous creature was bothering them and something needed to be done, and they were about to send out the torches and the pitchforks and everything. And St. Francis said, let me go talk to him. St. Francis went, talked to the wolf, and the wolf followed him around from that day forward. So the story says. This guy had a very close relationship with the earth. Now, he was the one who truly, in our church's history, of all people of faith's history, could deeply appreciate the splendor of the world around him in a way that others seemed to miss. He found endless motivation to celebrate God. Much like the countless psalms that sing praises to a generous and loving creator, he looked at this amazing world we live in and he felt a connection to something bigger than himself. He felt a reason to believe in God, and he felt a desire to live in such a way that would honor that creation. He also believed deeply that each and every living thing was created by God just as we are. that every creature deserved the love, respect, and care that we expect ourselves. One of my favorite St. Francis stories is that he was known to get into trouble because he would offer communion to the animals. Now, especially in a Catholic worldview, this was very looked down upon. But his belief was that God created them and God loved them just like God loves us. And why shouldn't they share in that love? Now, you all know, at least those of you that do know me, you know I believe in an open communion table that all people should receive God's love. He took it even a step further. Now, there was one day that St. Francis was out walking with friends down the road, and he saw in a tree a large gathering of birds. Now, being who he was, he didn't just see a flock of birds in the tree. He saw a waiting and willing congregation. And so he preached to the birds. This is the sermon he offered. "My sister birds, you owe much to God, and you must always, in every place, give praise to Him. For He has given you freedom to wing through the sky and has clothed you. You neither sow nor reap, and yet God feeds you and gives you rivers and fountains for your thirst. And the mountains and the valleys are for your shelter, and the tall trees for your nests. And although you neither know how to spin or weave, God dresses you and your children, for the Creator loves you greatly, and He blesses you abundantly. Therefore, sister and brother bird, always seek to praise God." I almost titled my sermon "Churches for the Birds," but decided not to. I can only imagine the reactions to this sermon. You're walking down the road with some friends, and suddenly the pastor says, "Hang on, I got to preach a sermon." Walks over to a tree and starts talking. First off, the birds had to be a little weirded out. I'm not going to lie. But the people, I can hear them saying, "Dude, you're preaching to the animals. What's that all about?" And his simple and honest answer back, "God created and loves them. Shouldn't they hear a good word? A word of hope and a call to praise?" In fact, St. Francis, in much of his work, pointed out that God even made the animals first. I'm very grateful to our children's time today and those powerful words, "and it was good." I hope some of the children and their voices saying those words might echo throughout your week if there's a day you need to be reminded. But hear the scripture, a section of creation, and listen for an animal you might appreciate or care for. Listen to the things that you might see in your week. "And God said, 'Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky.' And so God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth.' And there was evening and there was morning on the fifth day. And then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals on the earth of every kind.' And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good." Now, first off, I've always loved this scripture. When I was little, used to think the ministry was just exaggerating when they would say in the creepy, crawly things. But it's in there. It's in the book. Even those little creepy ones. And it's after this beautiful creation story of the animals and the world around us that then God creates humanity. And after God creates humanity, God says we are good, and then God asks us some favors. God asks us to care for the animals. It was one of the first things God ever asked of humanity. Take care of the world around you. We were asked to care for creation, to be good stewards of it, to keep an eye out for every creature, all of them, even the creepy crawly ones. Animals are an important part of our lives and world. Hildegard once said that it is God whom human beings know in every creature. The idea that we could look at the creatures around us and come to know God more is an important reminder. Because through an innocence that humanity seems not to know, animals present us with a kind of existence from which we can learn. Jesus knew this. Jesus used animals to help us understand God's love for us. It's actually Jesus' words in the book of Matthew that St. Francis is quoting in his sermon. Hear these words from Matthew 6. And Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Look, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Now, I also want to point out that Jesus would have been sitting on a rock on the top of a hill when he said these words. This wasn't just some sort of abstract, okay, everybody think about a bird. I can just see Jesus sitting there and saying, no, seriously, look, there's birds. Actually, when I came in today, there was a pigeon feather next to one of the windows, and I got a little nervous. I thought we really would be looking at a bird today. I heard it's happened before. But Jesus, throughout his ministry and his sharing, here he offers a bold example of our dependency on God. And this is exactly why St. Francis encourages the birds, and all of us, to always, and in every place, give thanks to God. Because Jesus, though he's preaching to people, is making the same point that St. Francis offered. That we have been given much and are to be grateful. Now, this story Jesus offers is a parable. And there are two distinct kinds of parables in our scriptures. The first kind is the go and do likewise parable. This is where Jesus tells a story of a certain way we should live or a certain action that we're to replicate, gets to the end of the parable and says, go, do likewise. You know, which of these was a good neighbor? Go and do likewise. Okay, so we'll all be good neighbors. That's nice. The parable of the birds is not one of these parables. Jesus is telling us not that we should quit cooking and shopping because God's just going to clothe us and make dinner for us. This isn't a go and do likewise moment. This is a different kind of parable. This is the kind of parable we might call a how much more than parable, where Jesus offers an example that's really not about us, so we can see how much more of a reality it could be for us. Here Jesus is speaking of the care and the love of God in this ultimate sense. Not just the clothing and the feeding that God does, but that God's love and care is expressed to all creatures. And if God can care and love this much for the birds and the grass, how much more can God love and care for us? See, this parable has that flip side. If the birds and the grass can celebrate and praise God by being exactly what they were created to be, how much more might we be able to celebrate and praise God by being all that we are created to be? And if that can be true, how much more should we care for and celebrate all that God has created? Since those words in Genesis, those words that invite us to care for creation, that invite us to oversee the world, since they've been uttered, there seems to at times have been a human understanding that we're above the other creatures, that they are lesser beings, and we are somehow different and separate and better than. You know, an author I love speaks about the sacred nature of all animals, and references, of all things, the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul, in his writing, once said, "We who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." In other words, that we that are able should care for those that are not. You know, here we see that this applies to God's care for creatures. That there is a power dynamic that plays out between people and animals. And it's a dynamic that speaks to our character as people. Let me just put it this way. How we treat other beings, how we treat other creatures that may not carry status, how we treat other people who may not carry a certain status, tells of who we are, and it tells of what we believe in. Consider the birds of the air. How much more should we love them than we do? We are called by God to care for all creatures, great and small, for we are blessed by them, we are taught by them, and we are invited to see the sacred in them. This is the gift of God's creation. Amen.